are you going to watch the eclipse?
Wait, California's not going to have the eclipse, are we?
No, but... No. It's going... It's weird. It's going, like, from... The path I saw was going from, like, the bottom part of the United States over, like, Texas. This one of my coworkers drove all the way to Texas just to watch the eclipse.
But I think only one state's going to have, like, the full eclipse, right? Like, where the sun gets completely blacked out by the moon.
I believe it's Texas. I believe so.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah. One of the secretaries at work, she told me that she needed to be... Which day is the eclipse?
I thought it was going to be Wednesday, but I'm not 100% sure.
I think it's the 8th.
Okay, yeah.
And she asked for the day off because she didn't want to be outdoors during the eclipse because she's pregnant.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So apparently there's this...
urban myth?
Yeah, that if you're out and you're pregnant, that your baby will, like, be deformed. Right. Or had you ever heard that before?
No, but it sounds like something somebody would say who believes in that kind of stuff, like with the moon and the stars and, you know, eclipses now, I guess.
Yeah, because she asked me for the day off, and I was like, wait, tell me why again? She's like, because, you know, you're going to think this is stupid. And I was like, oh, no, I don't think it's stupid at all. Well, I'm like, that's fucking weird.
That is weird, bro.
So I just gave her the day off.
Yeah, yeah. What was the thing we were talking about a couple weeks ago with the pricing? What was the term that they were saying?
Oh, dynamic pricing.
Yeah. So I went to lunch with my friend Barry today, and he was telling me that they were dynamic pricing all the hotels that were, like, in the eclipse's path.
Yeah, I believe it.
Yeah, and I do too, bro. Like, that's exactly how people, you know, they're gonna capitalize on something. You know, since we live in a country where that happens all the time.
But you were probably paying more for a rental car in that area too. You know, like, they probably jack the prices up on everything. Like,
oh, well, for sure,
the fucking eclipse in Texas. You know,
yeah, so. Yeah. And I always have trouble thinking about, like, the eclipse, and, like, we need to have a science guy on and to give us some education. I bet you Yanni would know, bro. Like, you know, she knows all about the planets and shit. We took a family trip to Griffith Park, and I don't know how an eclipse works, really.
Hey, so how was that?
It was cool. The last time I had gone to Griffith Park was, you know, when I was a child, bro. Uh-huh. You know, but it was cool. You know, Jude, Alicia were there. You know, Nico, Natalia. It was cool, bro. Like, the it's free, so that's cool. Yeah. You know, they have the Tesla coil there and the pendulum. It's all stuff that I remember from, you know, when I was there as a kid. You know, but it was really cool. It's like it's got a cool little ambiance to it. You know, people were just walking around, checking out the sites, the exhibits.
The last time I went there was, dude. And I went there for they used to have, like, this laser show inside the Griffith Observatory, and I think me and my wife were still dating. That's how long it's been since I've been there. Yeah. That's one of the few times I've been there. You want to hear something crazy, Ben? I lived in LA for 30 years and never once went to the Hollywood sign.
Yeah, and that's the added advantage, or the added thing about going to Griffith Park, is that the Hollywood sign is right there,
and
you can take pictures with the Hollywood sign in the background.
So I mean, did you guys go?
You could get closer. No, but the Hollywood sign is visible, very visible from Griffith Park.
Yeah. So like, I know people up here in the Central Valley that are like, oh, they get pictures with the Hollywood sign. I'm like, I lived in LA for 30 years, never went
once. Yeah, I've never gone to the actual sign. You know, like, the closest I've ever been is Griffith Park.
Yeah. So you went to Griffith Park, and then you got a Dodger game.
Yes, the day before, we went to Angel Stadium, and I had never gone to Angel Stadium before. That's my first trip to Angel
Stadium. It's nice. I've been there.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's actually a nice park. Yeah.
Man.
Traffic was crazy, of course.
It's nice, I mean, but.
Yeah.
It's fucking Angel Stadium.
Exactly. Right. I'll tell you this, it's not Dodger Stadium.
No.
You know what I mean?
I thought you had gone to, because I was all excited to ask you, because I haven't seen Dodger Stadium. I think we mentioned this in a previous episode, that it's probably really different from the way I remember it.
You can see sometimes when you're looking at highlights, when they hit home runs, there's now a bridge that connects the pavilion to the main stadium, and that wasn't so before.
What?
Remember before, it was like the pavilion was like a standalone place where, you know.
It had its own entrance.
Yeah. And I think, don't quote me directly on this, but I think sometimes in the pavilion they used to have different, like, food specials than they did in the rest of the park. Uh-huh. Like, in the pavilion, if you sat in the pavilion, you can get, like, a better deal on hot dogs and beer. But I don't know if that's the case anymore. And to tell you the truth, I don't even know if that was the case then, but I want to remember that it was.
Yeah, I remember we used to go to the pavilion, and we'd pay $8 to sit in the pavilion with the kids. Yeah.
And the pavilion's a cool place to watch the Dodger game because, you know, a lot of home runs there. But also, it's not bad. Like, the seating, they're bleachers. That's the only, I think that's the only downside to the pavilion is that the pavilion has bleachers, whereas everybody else has, you know, a seat. I mean, the bleachers are numbered, you know where you're sitting and shit, but it's not, it ain't like sitting in a chair.
So to me, those were preferable than the seats that were up behind home plate all the way up in the blue.
I agree.
Because you can't see shit from up there. No. I sat there before, and those are the worst seats in the house.
It's high, bro. It's like one of the highest views. It's like, you know, look, you can see the Goodyear blimp down there.
Yeah.
it's freaking far, bro.
The vendors are up there selling oxygen. They're like, oxygen. Yeah, bro. So I did. You know where I went? I went on Monday. We had obviously Cesar Chavez holiday, and I took a bike ride to. I never heard of this place. It's called Copperopolis. It's up by Snelling. I'll go up that way.
Hold on. Is this north of San Francisco or south of San Francisco?
No. It's more like going towards Modesto.
Okay.
Yeah. And we took a bike ride out there, me and a buddy, and really nice fucking ride. And then there's a lake. So there's a lake out there. It's called Lake Don Pedro. Mm-hmm. And then there's a couple of other like bodies of water out there. But it was pretty cool because we're coming down this grade, and he had been telling me how beautiful it was up there. And, you know, we always just look for places to ride our motorcycles. You know, we went up there, and it's like a 3-hour ride from here, from Hanford. And there was this part where we're coming down this grade towards a lake, dude. And there was these awesome rock formations that they were just covered in trees, bro. And then when you got down to the bottom of that, you go over this huge bridge. It's over a huge lake, bro. I took some awesome video, dude. I posted it on my Instagram. It was really, really nice. And then we went over there, and we had lunch at this place called some barbecue place. I forget what it was called, but I had like a burger, and then we had a couple of beers, you know, shot the shit a little bit, and then rode home. Like, I was back by like 5 o'clock. It was a fucking awesome day, dude.
It was a very full day, a very full week. The week that, because, you know, we did it during spring break. But that same day we went to Amoeba Records, and then we went to the Grove. The Grove wasn't one of those places that we used to hit as kids, because the Grove is in like LA, you know what I mean? Like, all of our mall experiences, like Montebello Mall, West Covina Mall, you know. So the Grove isn't really one of those places that we had ever gone to. I had already gone to it one time, but that's a big ass mall, bro. That thing is huge, and it's pretty cool. It's got some cool shops, you know.
I think I've been there.
Yeah, you may have, dude. They got a good little area where they have a shit ton of restaurants, you know.
Wait, that's in Orange County? No,
it's not. It's not in Orange County. It's in LA. Oh, yeah, no, I know. I thought Orange County too. And somebody told me the very first time I heard about the Grove, I was like, I don't Orange County, because, you know, you don't know, you know. Yeah. But yeah, it's in LA.
Yeah. So I mean, that was my weekend, and then you know, basically just been fucking trying to catch up. And I was fucking dreading going back to work, bro. After that day, it was like a pretty epic day. Then I had some buddies leave the day. They went to bike week in Arizona. Uh-huh. We were all supposed to, like, five of the guys that I ride with, they were all leaving Arizona today. But, you know,
is there going to be a bunch of bikers, like, from bike gangs or
from everywhere? No, yeah, it's like that.
Oh, really?
It's like that. Yeah.
So it's kind of like, what is that one they have in South Dakota?
Sturgis. It's like Sturgis. I've never gone to either, so I can tell you, you know. But you know, the Arizona Bike Week is like one that the hardcore bikers have circled on their calendar, so they'll go. And you know, the guys were like, we should go. I'm like, yeah, I'm good, bro.
Yeah, I don't know. This seems kind of risky to me. I don't know. I may be completely wrong.
It seems kind of risky. So speaking of baseball, I know you saw this in the news. Otani hit his first home run as a Dodger.
That's correct.
And of course, the whole thing is embroiled in controversy, right? Because the girl that caught the ball, what they're saying is that they didn't give her enough for the baseball she caught. Did you see that?
I did. And, you know, I have my opinions about that. Like, you know, you're a fan, you catch a ball. And look, it's not like a record-breaking ball. It's his first home run as a Dodger, which I'm sure has some value to him, you know. It's the only thing you could do with is a home run. You can't do it for his first single, because that stays in-house. You know, it doesn't go to a fan.
Right.
You can't do it for any other occasion. The only occasion that where you can have a souvenir of a in-play part of the game is a home run.
So here's what they gave her. They gave her a baseball, an autographed Otani baseball. They gave her an autographed bat, and they gave her two Dodger hats, which he also autographed. Yeah. And the controversy is surrounding the fact that the girl, after the fact, is like, oh, yeah, when I caught it, they came and they separated me and my husband and they let me talk to him. And then they were threatening not to authenticate the baseball that I caught. And I'm thinking to myself, well, there's video of you catching it.
Right. Why does it need to be authenticated? Right. That's a very good question.
Yeah. I know. But what I'm saying is they probably planned on her. You know, obviously you're not that person. So in the moment, you can't say how you would react. You know, like we're sitting here Monday morning quarterback going, oh, if it was me, I would have asked for this, 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 and that. But you don't know in that moment when you got security staring you in the face, bro, and they're kind of, and you don't know what your rights are. You know, like me personally, I would have been like, nah, bro, I'll be in contact. Yeah, because the other thing I thought of after was like what they gave her, in the context of how much they're paying Ohtani, $750 million, bro. She could have held out for $100,000, changed her life.
And I think that there's a hard rule. I don't know if it's the Dodgers rule, but they have a hard rule where it's like, we're not going over $100,000 no matter what. I don't know if the Dodgers have this hard rule where like they're not negotiating. They're just like, hey, if you want to try to negotiate $100,000 is what you'll get.
We don't negotiate with hostage situations.
We don't negotiate with people who sit in the pavilion.
We don't negotiate with terrorists.
So context, right? And again, this is not a home run ball. Right. But you know, Mark McGwire, when he broke Roger Maris's record.
Yeah.
The guy held out, and that ball sold at auction for $3 million.
Right.
I think the Barry Bonds ball got less money because by then the controversy about steroid use was already in place. So they're like, he's going to hit this thing and he's going to be on steroids, mm-hmm. right? So, but those are people that held out, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, they didn't just get an autographed bat and two hats. You know what I mean?
I mean, the dude just... Somebody took $4.5 million from under his nose, you know? And so, you know what I'm saying? Yes, like, what's another $100,000 bucks
exactly.
for my first baseball? You know what exactly. I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what, you know, after, you know, when I got to thinking about it, I was like, dude, that guy makes $750 million.
Serious shit. How involved do you think Ohtani is in that?
In what?
In the gambling thing.
You know what? With his interpreter. At first, I was like, okay, the interpreter's kind of taking is the fall guy, right. and Ohtani's paying him to be the fall guy. But then they started digging up dirt on the interpreter. It turns out that the work history that got him hired, a lot of it was made up.
Oh, I see.
So he claimed he was the interpreter for a Japanese pitcher that used to play for Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. And it turns out that the years he interpreted him for him, the dude wasn't even in the league. Right. Like shit like that, you know, like shady shit, you know? Then they dug up a video. I don't know if you saw this. They dug up a video, an old video, bro, when he was still with the Angels, Ohtani. And, and there was an interview with him and the interpreter. And they're like, hey, how'd you guys meet? You know, or how did you know you guys were going to form a bond? And Ohtani goes, oh, actually, we really connected over a 4-day gambling bender in Vegas. Like he said that, you know, there's a video of it, bro.
Dude,
you know
that's
I mean?
Unfortunate.
Yeah, bro. Yeah. You hadn't seen that?
No, I hadn't seen it. And that's crazy, bro. That's absolutely nuts.
But, you know, you don't ever know. And honestly, if the dude.
Okay, but honestly, okay, the money came out of his account, dude. That's a huge. Like red flag. Why is it coming out of his account?
Yeah, and I don't know if the story changed at once. Like Ohtani gave him the money to get him out of gambling debt with bookies, right. and then it was the dude stole it. And, right. You know,
I mean, gambling in Vegas is one thing. Gambling online on those picks, you know, where you're picking players to score a certain amount of points or whatever, is another. But man, when you go through a bookie, bro. You're a serious gambler. Like you got some serious shit going on. You know what I mean?
It's like your buddy Gura from.
Dude.
Who's his name?
Tommy.
Tommy Gura.
Yeah, Tommy. Well, you know, I think a lot of people during that time had issues. You know, I was just talking to Barry today, and we were talking a little bit about how people get in trouble with bookies. You know what I mean? And how that could be pretty dangerous. You know? And this guy was involved with a bookie from Orange County somewhere, you know what I mean? You know, the kind of people that, like, you know, bust your kneecaps. That's what's crazy about it, you know? It's not like of course, that would never happen in Vegas because everything's up front, you know? But when you're dealing with the bookies, sometimes, you know, you're getting you're getting loaned out money in order to put bets down or whatever, you know. And so it could get very, very slippery, you know, very, very fast, dude. So you sent something on Flipboard that I wanted to talk to you about because I think we had a plan just on talking about it, and I think it's a kind of an interesting topic about the close but no cigars, right?
Oh,
yeah. Or, you know, close but no cigar.
Yeah, the reason I was thinking about that shit is because there's this dude at work. Do you work with any? You probably everybody works with a guy like this. You know, fucking cliche guy, bro. You know, like the dude you see every day. Hey, how's it going? Yeah. And, oh, you know, living the dream. Yeah. That dude. And yeah.
Living the dream guy.
Yeah, living the dream guy, or
you know, or same shit, different day.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Bro, the one I heard the other day was what was it? Another day, another dollar in the hole. Like, yeah. There's a dude I see at work all the time. That's his response.
Every
time,
little sayings here.
Yeah. So I started thinking, you know, where some of the shit comes from. Mm-hmm. You know? And so that was one of them, like, hey, close but no cigar.
Yeah.
I guess back in like the 50s or whatever, that they would give cigars for carnival prizes.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you would knock over the milk bottles and then you'd miss or whatever. And the guy would be like, close but no cigar, you know. And so little things like that.
Like carnival barkers.
Yeah. You know, here's another one. Take it with a grain of salt.
Mm-hmm.
You know what that, mm-hmm. you know that game?
That wasn't in the article.
No. Yeah. I started doing some, like, I started, like, digging deep on it. So, take it with a grain of salt. It had to do with, like, holistic medicine.
Mm-hmm.
And you would put all this shit that, you know, for concoctions, bro, you know, for whatever. And you would use ingredients that would by themselves cause you to die, you know. But if you mixed them with whatever, and there was this belief that if you put a grain of salt in it, you wouldn't. It wouldn't do you any harm.
Right.
So they would say
it was like a superstition that people.
Yeah. Take it with a grain of salt, you know, and so they'd put a grain of salt in it and then take it, you know, and hope you don't die and it would fix your ailment or whatever it was. You
right.
know? So that's where that came from. Oh. But now it means, you know, take it as you will.
Right.
You know,
right.
And, you know, or.
Or like this shitty thing kind of happened to you, take it with a grain of salt.
Right.
I mean?
Right.
Yeah. So the I guess before cigars were like a thing that they used to just hand out at carnivals,
right.
But also you remember how that was kind of a tradition when your kid was born.
Oh yeah, yeah,
the dad would hand out cigars, you know, outside of the outside of the room where the woman gave birth. At least that's how they portrayed in movies,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But it got me thinking also about carnivals in general. And I remember you had told me one time that you knew a dude. I don't know if he worked in the carnival industry or what, but that you said that they would pay guys to walk around with those big stuffed animals. So it looks like they won?
No, it wasn't me.
Oh, was it you? Okay, well, somebody told me that, bro. Somebody told me that, like, when you see people walking around with the big-ass stuffed animals, they actually pay those dudes to walk around. Or they let somebody win right off the bat, so people think, oh, I have a chance to win that, you know?
Yeah.
And you think, but, you know, it's the carnival thing, the carnival games is kind of weird because, or like when you go to the supermarket and there's the claw and you're trying to fish out stuffed animals or whatever, and the whole time people are playing and I'm thinking, I wouldn't pay $5 for this, like, if I went to a store. Why am I trying to win it for, like, I'm about to pay $20 for the stuffed animal, you know, for the stuffed fucking cheap stuffed minion that I'm about to win, right? When you feel them, bro, it's a shitty ass material. It's not worth it at all,
dude,
bro.
Dude, one time I went to a carnival when I was in high school and me and my wife were dating. And I shit you not, bro. I probably, back, you know, this is 1991. You know, and I went to the carnival with like $20,
uh-huh.
and I spent all my $20 trying to win a fucking goldfish, bro. I think I won it like $18 in, right? I could have just gone to the fucking store
and bought it
for $3.
But then you wouldn't have won it, bro. That's the thing, like, you know.
What the fuck?
Hey, the same guy that told me about the stuffed animal thing.
Yeah.
He also told me that when you see the basketball one.
Yeah, the hoop's small.
No, they're not small.
What?
They're oval.
Get the fuck out.
That's why when you see it, the stuffed animals are on the sides, so you can't look at it from the side because the stuffed animals are always hanging on the side. Like, they purposely make those booths so that you can't see the side of the rim. And so the rims are ovals, bro. But when you're looking at it, it doesn't look oval. It looks round. You know, so you don't get you get people that are basketball players out there and they can't freaking make three in a row. They'll probably make one or two, but dude, those guys are used to hitting ten in a row, bro. You know, that video of fucking Steph Curry. Of course, I'm not comparing guys that win prizes at carnivals to Steph Curry, But Steph Curry, you know, he made something like 70 something one time in a row, bro. Like, but there's dudes that play college ball that are fucking awesome at basketball that can't go over the shit bro, hit three
the,
in a row.
The fucking carnies are good at that shit.
The carnies know what's up. They're probably angling their bodies to the angle of the oval.
I fucking know, but what I'm saying is, like, I seen the carnies and I'm like, how the fuck, they don't miss.
No, and they're good at all of those games.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, the different games that they have. Like, the little, dude, the hardest one is the ring on the bottom.
Is that bad? Is it bad we're calling them carnies? Like, can we get...
Probably. It's probably not good, bro.
The car scratch that. Yeah. It's a carnival word.
You know what, Murdoch? This thing is, it's already too big for me to edit out, bro. So we're going to have to just live with it. But anyways, just... going back to the original topic, right, which is, you know, close but no cigar, there was as part of the tour script when I was giving tours of the Constitution, there was a saying that we all know. It's called keep a stiff upper lip. Have you ever heard that? Okay, keep a stiff upper lip means, you know, keep your mouth shut, you know, like, don't say anything. Don't give yourself up and don't give anybody else up, right? So... the saying comes from when sailors back during that era would die, how they would bury them at sea is they would put them in their hammock, and then they would sew the hammock together, right? They would sew the hammock all the way up to the top, and the last stitch would go through the person's upper lip.
Get the fuck out.
So the reason why they did that was because if you were faking it, right, like they say you wanted to get off of the ship for whatever reason, you're a privateer or a pirate or a person in the Navy, and you wanted to get out of your contract, you could just fake that you died and then they'd throw you over the side and then you could escape, right? So the last stitch would go through their upper lip so that if the guy was faking it, if he was faking his death, you know, you'd be able to know because, you know, nobody could withstand, you know, a needle going through your upper lip, you know, without flinching anyways, right?
So, bro, if I wanted to get out bad enough, I'd just fucking take it.
You would just, yeah. Right, exactly. There's also a lot of Marine Corps ones that people don't know, you know, like, for example, you know how sometimes they call Marines leathernecks?
Yeah.
That comes from the Marines back in the day when they used to board other vessels, they used to have this leather strap around their neck. So that they didn't get stabbed, you know, in the neck. It was like a form of protection, you know?
Oh, shit.
And then the other thing is, you know, on the Marine caps, they have those pointed hats. I think there's 8 points on a Marine hat. I'm not 100% sure how many points there are. But that was the amount of people that it used to take to load a rifle. Because during battles, bro, when the two ships were battling... on top of the fighting tops, like what we assume is a crow's nest, on naval vessels, there were platforms. And on those platforms, they would have a sharpshooter, bro. But it would take too long to load the rifles that they were using. So they would put seven or eight Marines up there. And then one guy's job would be like to put the wadding in. And then the next guy, he'd hand the rifle over to the next dude and he'd put the gunpowder in. And then the guy would load it with whatever the ammunition was and then more wadding. But it took 7 steps So in other words, the guy that was firing down on the other ship, all he was doing was firing, grabbing another rifle, firing. Yeah. So the 7 points on the Marine hat represent those steps in loading a rifle.
It was the first quote unquote machine gun.
Yeah, like a human machine gun. Like a phalanx, yeah.
All right, so I got some, let me see if you can fill in the blanks here, right?
Okay.
What's missing from, if it ain't blank, don't fix it.
Broke.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it. That was an easy one, right?
That was an easy one, bro.
Say, when someone wants to tell you how good they are, they might say, you're the cat's
meow. Yeah?
The cat's meow.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. How would you complete this phrase? Don't count your chickens before they
hatch.
Which means?
Don't count your chips at the poker table, dude.
Yeah, don't count your chips. Dude, I saw this video the other day on, it was one of those poker things, and this dude, he had 2 pairs with the river card and the turn card still, and he was high-fiving people in the crowd, bro.
Oh, hell no.
And yeah, he was high-fiving people in the crowd, and then the commentators were like, you know, this ain't over. And the dude's like, yeah, I'm not even going to look at it. He goes over there, and he fucking ends up losing like $275,000.
Did you ever see that one where the Colombian skater, he's in those ice skating races in the Olympics where they skate around cones inside of a skating rink? Okay, anyways, they're skating around these things, and the guy's way ahead, bro. And he sees that he's way ahead, so he, instead of being down in a crouch skating, he stands up and he puts his hands up. And just as he puts his hands up, the guy in second place
goes by him.
No, just his skate beats him, bro. Like, he just stretches his skate out and he beats the dude. And the commentator, he's a Colombian guy, which is kind of weird because I'm thinking Colombians are good at skating, yeah, right? But the Colombian commentator is like, ahora celebra, papi. Ahora. Like, he's mad at him. Yelling at him, bro. Yeah, it's freaking hilarious.
So I saw the same thing. There was a snowboarding thing that happened like that. The guy was ahead, like, way ahead, bro. And then right before he crossed it, so they're coming down this hill, right? Uh-huh. And then he goes off a roller and he hot dogs it, bro. Uh-huh. To go, and he fell, bro. And the fucking dude goes by him, and he lost a gold medal for
hot dogging.
Yeah, for hot dogging. How about this one? Don't take any wooden blank.
Don't take any wooden blank.
Yeah.
No clue, bro.
Don't take any wooden nickels.
What?
Yeah.
I've never heard that one. That's one.
Yeah.
You know, oh, really? You've heard that one before?
Yeah, I've heard.
Oh, okay, no shit.
Yeah, you know, don't let anybody make a fool out of you, bro.
So, wooden nickels, I would assume, is something from the past where you can get by replacing a regular real nickel with a wooden nickel. Is that where it comes from?
Or somebody would give you a fake nickel and try to, like, a counterfeit nickel.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. You know. So in other words, it's kind of like, do you remember when we used to go to La Piedad and Mauricio used to try to use those washers?
No, bro. No. You know what I do remember? You know what I do remember, though, is...
Sell.
Yeah. We used to take nickels
and smash
them with our hammers and make them the size of quarters and play video games.
Yes, yeah, because the nickels are a little bit thicker than the quarters, and if you smash them down, you can make them the size of a quarter, and it actually worked.
Yeah.
Remember? And Sal used to do that shit. Okay, Gabe one time was at a liquor store, and he was doing that, bro. And the clerk caught him.
I was there.
With Sal?
It was Sal.
What were the owner, the Asian
he's
owner?
He's an Asian guy.
Okay, yeah. He's like, stop using imitation quota.
Yeah, because that happened. Yes. That happened in. He's like, boy.
Yes, yes, I remember that.
We're gonna get canceled again. Anyway, it was in Azusa, bro.
I remember that with Sal, but I also remember that with Mauricio, bro.
Yeah.
Mauricio and La Piedad.
All right. How about this one? Made in the blank.
Made in the shade?
Yeah, made in the shade. That's an easy one, right?
Okay. That was pretty standard.
Your blank up the wrong tree.
Barking.
Yeah, barking
up the wrong tree. Orko, you could have really helped us out with that one, bro.
Okay, a blank stone gathers no moss.
That's a rolling stone.
A rolling stone gathers no moss. I never really understood that one.
Yeah. You know, as long as you continue to move, you know. Hey, you know.
Is that like the old keep it moving?
When they closed Lantermann.
Uh-huh.
I was there when they closed it, and as soon as the people stop walking on the sidewalks, bro, the weeds start to grow.
Oh shit!
Fast, bro. Like, we're talking about within a couple of weeks of non-activity, uh-huh, the weeds start to grow. You know, on the lines of the cement, you know, and stuff. And I always tripped out because I was like, man, this unit hasn't been closed for longer than, you know, a couple of weeks, and the weeds are already growing in the back. In the areas where
the people
used to congregate. Yes, dude. Yeah. Yes. And even in the basketball courts, like the tennis courts, the weeds start because they weren't being used. I guess that's kind of what that means.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Okay. How about this one? I'll be there with a blank on.
I'll be there with the blank on?
I'll be there with blank on.
I don't know.
That one, there's a couple of choices here. Shoes, bells, glasses, or rings. I think it's
bells.
I think it's bells.
I'm going to say bells.
That's not one I have a lot of.
Did they give you an answer?
I think it gives you the answers at the end.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, cruising foray. That was easy. Cruising
for a bruising.
This ain't my first
rodeo.
Get wrecked. There's more ways to skin a
cat. That's kind of a weird one. What does that one mean?
There's more than one way to skin a cat? Yeah, that's like, you know, with somebody.
That sounds butchery.
Yeah, but it's also, I don't know what the origins are, but you know what it means, right?
Yeah, there's more ways to do one thing, you know, over another, ways to do something.
There's more ways to fry an egg, like, right, you know, somebody, you know, it's like when somebody goes, hey, you're frying the egg wrong. You know what? There's more than one way to skin a cat, bro.
Right, that's a good one. So
the blank wheel gets the grease.
The squeaky wheel gets the grease.
Yes, sir. And then here's the last one. Blank while the iron is hot.
Strike.
Strike while the iron is hot. Yeah, we use that one at work a lot too.
Okay.
Yeah,
I like that. Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, the old sayings. Those sayings are always interesting.
Man, there's a lot more right here, but these are too easy though. You look happy as a blank.
Happier than a pig and shit. What is that one?
And then there's the ones that are not suitable for work.
Yeah, yeah. There's some that'll get us canceled for sure.
What's it called? We got the best ones. That whole first hour of Full Metal Jacket.
Oh hell yeah, bro. The Full Metal Jacket to me is like two movies in one. There's the boot camp part, and then there's the Vietnam part.
Yeah,
both parts are equally great.
Yeah. So. Did you guys go to any restaurants when you were in Anaheim? Or?
Yes, dude. Actually, we went to a restaurant by Griffith Park. It was a pizza restaurant, but man, it was really good. We got a salad and we got some pizzas. We got some pies, you know. But this place was really awesome, dude. I forget what the place is called, but somebody had given us. Naomi actually had told us about this place, and so we went, and it was really good. Alicia really liked it. Jude really liked it. You know, Yanni really liked it. Like everybody liked it. It was good. Good service. Kind of pricey, I have to say. Kind of pricey for a pizza pie. We got two large pies, and I think they were like $29-$30 each. You know, which. You know, and they're large pizzas, and it's good pizza, so it's worth it, you know, for sure.
Was it like a sit-down place? Or?
Yeah, sit-down place. You, at the beginning, you just put your order. It's very much like Shakey's, where you go in, you order the pizza, you know, grab a number, and then they bring it to your table, you know, and stuff like that. There's no salad bar or anything like that, but it was cool. I think everything, including tip, was, you know, I think all of us ate for under $100. It was pretty good.
You know what fucking happened the other day, bro? I was at me and the wife and my son. We went to have sushi here in town.
Mm-hmm.
And then so they brought the bill, and then I fucking paid it and I tipped it and shit. When I got in the car, they had added a service charge. So they added the service charge, and then I didn't see it that they added, and I tipped them on top of that.
Yep.
I was pissed, bro.
Bro, I just asked right now. You know, we just went out to eat.
Yeah.
Okay, when I paid the bill, I asked him. I go, hey, is the gratuity already included? And he said, no, it's not. And it wasn't. You know what I mean? But I always ask, bro. I ask now.
It's fucking out of control, bro.
Yeah.
Out of control with the fucking tipping. And, you know, I fucking get it because, you know, my son works in the service industry. And he says, you know, some people are really bad tippers. But, you know, they're to the point now where – you're doing all the work. You walk up to the counter, you order, you pick up your food, and then they turn the fucking iPad around and it's like, tip me. And I'm like, you didn't do anything.
Yeah.
All you did was fucking charge me for the food.
It's crazy that I'll tip every time. I might say other, but I'm tipping them a dollar or two, right? But you're right. I'm thinking, this is what I'm thinking, right? When I'm doing this is what I'm thinking. Okay, whatever tip I give you, who's getting it?
Oh, I ask. Like, so
is it the person doing
okay, so,
the food?
So the girl that does my hair, I ask her, okay, if I tip you, are you going to see any of this money? She goes, I'll see all of it. So I'll tip her good.
Right.
You know what I mean? So if, like, you know, six of the $10 I'm tipping you is going to corporate, fuck that. You know, that happened to me when we went to sushi, and then we went to Pyology maybe a couple nights ago, bro. And Pyology is different because they make the pizza for you.
It's like Subway for pizza.
Right. So you get to the end of the counter and you pay for your food and they want a tip. And with that one, I was kind of torn, right? Because I'm like, so my sort of stance on tipping is, okay, if they're going beyond, above and beyond the what they're paid to do, I'll tip them. You know what I mean? If they're coming to my table, you know, making sure my water drink is filled or whatever.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. You're paying for the service.
You're paying for the service, you know? And so I didn't tip the girl at the Pyology, right? And, you know, I paid for five pizzas for my family. It was $80. And, like, I didn't tip her. And she kind of got an attitude, bro. And I was like, fuck you. You know, like your job is to make the pizzas. Like,
you don't tip at Subway.
Exactly, right. Dude. That's exactly
they're doing the same exact thing.
That's exactly what my thought process was. I'm like, I don't tip the Subway people just because it's pizza. Like, I won't tip you at Five Guys either. You know what I'm saying? So, like, if they're coming to my table and filling my water, I'll fucking tip you.
Exactly.
But if you're just charging me for my food or I'm doing the work,
or you're even getting your fountain drink if you want more drink or whatever, you know? Yeah. But even if that wasn't the case, you would still question, you know, first of all, the amount. Like, there's so many things that have to do with tipping that you have to know or that you have to think about, because I'm the same way, bro. You know, I don't order stuff for delivery ever, like, you know, like Uber Eats or DoorDash or anything like that. But I know that some of those people make money on tips. This is a really relevant conversation because in California, they just recently changed the law, right? Where the minimum wage for restaurant workers is $20 now or something like that, 20 something. Okay.
Yeah.
That wasn't the case before. And I don't know if you know this, but the federal law that includes service charges or whatever the minimum wage is, right? The federal law, the minimum wage is set at a certain amount. I'm not sure what the amount is, but it doesn't include the restaurant industry.
Right, so my son, who works at a diner,
gets
paid less than the dude that works at McDonald's, bro.
Because they're depending on the tips. That makes sense, right? And then it's supposed to be, the law is written in a way where what it's supposed to be is whatever you don't make. In other words, if you have a person that's taking orders at tables, right, and they don't make minimum wage with the tip,
right.
Then it's the restaurant's responsibility
to make up
the difference. But do you think that's happening?
No, hell no.
Hell no.
Hell no. Hey, so in Lemoore, did you hear about this shit? Uh-uh. It made the news. In Lemoore, you know the Foster's Freeze in Lemoore?
Yeah.
It's been around forever, bro. Mm-hmm. Like the 15 years I lived in Lemoore, that was like after church, we'd go there. The employee showed up to work on April Fool's Day, and there was locks on the door, and the owner was like, hey, you're all these are your last checks because I can't afford the federal minimum wage, and all the employees were like, April Fool's, dude, they really closed it. They closed the Foster's in Lemoore. I couldn't believe it, bro. We went over there the other day. I drove by Lemoore, and you know, my wife and I were next door at the Jack in the Box getting a shake, and it was closed.
Yeah,
the Lemoore Foster's, bro. It's been around forever.
There's more to come on this. There's more to come on this because we have not yet seen the effects of what that $20 an hour fixed wage is going to do to, like, are they going to have to lay people off?
So the part that gets me, Bian, is that there's actually people blaming the law,
right,
which makes no fucking sense to me, bro. Right. Like, I'm like, you're telling me that Foster's can't eat that? They're just greedy. Like, it's just corporate greed, bro.
Well,
like,
not only that, it's also because I think
they would rather not, right?
The consumer knows what's going to happen is that the prices are going to go up. That's what's going to happen.
Okay, but what I'm saying is Foster's is choosing to make the prices go up to keep that profit margin.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Yes, they're not trying to give the employees that $20 without raising the prices.
Right. Because at the end of the day, they can't lose money. They're not going to. I know. But what I'm saying is they have to try and maintain whatever the profit margins are right now. Right. Like, they have to try to maintain that. And if that means raising the prices, then that's what they're going to do.
The fact that people are angry with the law when the law is designed to make their lives better is just mind-boggling, bro, to me. You know, and I'm hearing this everywhere. They're like, hey, I can't believe they raised the minimum fucking wage. And I'm like, they're trying to get more money in your pocket.
Right.
And it's the corporations that are like, fuck, we'd rather just fucking close down than pay you motherfuckers more.
I think everybody, bro. I think that everybody, when they think about tipping, they think about that. They think about, okay, so am I paying what the corporation should be paying?
Yeah.
Right? Because if you're making it off of my dime, if you're trying to make your profit, maintain your profit because I'm the one that's maintaining the salary of the employee.
Look, bro, we both been to Europe, okay? And when I was in Spain, you paid for your food and got up and left, and not a person would bat an eye, bro. Like, I tipped this guy, and we were in Barcelona, and we ate, and I tipped the guy just because it was like my first night there and I didn't know. And the dude was like fucking bowing to me, bro. And I was like, what the fuck, you know? Right. And then,
but I think in Europe, which I think this is true. I think in Europe, there's a service charge that gets included.
I didn't notice it.
Yeah. I don't know if it's noticeable.
So, okay. So like in Japan, it's considered an insult if you tip them.
Oh yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, it's just the culture, dude. Right. Like, you know, here in the United States, it's gotten so out of hand. It's like, dude, they want, there's a fucking tip for everything. Like, you know, I don't know that. Okay. So there used to be, you know, I saw this Family Feud question, name a service that you would provide a tip. Mm-hmm. Right. And you know, they top 10 answers on the board, dude, name one where you don't. Now,
yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Like it's completely right. Flipped the script, bro. You go for a car wash, they want a tip. You fucking go for a fucking haircut, they want a tip. I mean, mm-hmm. it's tip. And I'm not saying that I'm beyond tipping. I'm not a cheapskate, bro. At least I don't think I am. But I mean, come on, bro.
Yeah,
it's for everything now.
So before, you know, I was listening to this thing, and they were saying how before tipping was like a way of like it was like a system where you kept people in certain classes, and there was a demeaning quality to it if you tip somebody. It was like, you're here to serve me. You know, there was a hierarchy involved with the person who was giving the tip, right? And the person who's receiving the tip.
Yeah, you tip the help.
Right. Bellhops. You know, people who are providing a service, you know. But they were talking about how it all kind of started with the people who worked the trains, right? Were primarily African American. The porters on transcontinental train trips were always black, and they would get tipped. That's how they made the majority of their money. They would only get paid a very small amount of money. However, they would make all of their money, almost all of it, 90% of it would be from tips. Yeah. And so there has always been this idea about hierarchy when it comes to tipping, but not anymore. That is not the culture we live in today.
Oh no.
No. Today it's like the tip is expected, you know, from any service. And of course, I'm going to tip the valet. I'm going to tip the bellhop. I'm going to tip all of the people who I know I'm getting a direct service from. What I'm unsure of is sometimes when I'm picking up food at a counter, and I think this only happens in the restaurant industry. I'm picking up my order that I ordered online. I did all the ordering online. I go, and all I'm doing is picking it up, and the guy's flipping the thing over and asking me for a tip. And I'm thinking, all right, are you getting the tip? Is the person in the back getting the tip? Is the corporation getting the tip? I don't know who's getting the tip.
Yeah.
So that's, I think, one of the things that gets me. It's like, it's one of the things where I don't know the answers to those questions. So it makes me reluctant to give the tip full heartedly. You know what I mean?
So I read this awesome article, dude, and it had to do with the self-checkout counters.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't send you this one. So this guy goes to Lowe's, and I think he's like a columnist or whatever, and he goes to Lowe's, and he buys a bag full of shit, little things, bro. You know, he bought a paintbrush and a fucking screwdriver, and he goes to the Lowe's, and he checks out, and then he pays for his stuff. And he starts to walk out of the store, and you know how they always have an employee right there?
Yeah.
The employee tries to stop him, and he keeps walking.
Uh-huh.
And then the lady's like, hey, and the dude's like, I'm not stopping.
Right.
Like if you guys have these checkout counters, I'm doing your job. You're trusting that I'm – so don't have the checkout. So the guy just kept fucking walking out and shit. And, like, they call the cops on him and shit, and then he made –
It's like you feel like an employee.
He is. Right, I mean, right, they're cutting, right. You know, they're not paying the employees, and you're not getting a break on the fucking price of a screwdriver because you're doing their work. So the dude, he purposely did it because he made a big old thing out of it, you know, because he was like, I'm not stopping. I have no reason to stop. Right. You know what I mean?
When is the last time you went to Lowe's or Home Depot?
I go a lot.
Okay. They don't even do the regular checkout anymore.
No, they don't.
You have to go to
the
contractor area to get a regular checkout going, right?
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, bro. So everything is self-checkout, and it's a hardware store. So, you know, you might be rolling through there with, you know, some drywall and shit.
So
and you're having to freaking scan it.
So even more infuriating than that, to me, like tipping – it can get my fucking blood going, right? Mm-hmm. And but you know, that's a choice. Stuff like that, self-checkout counters, subscription services, bro.
Don't get me started, dude.
Dude, man. And I know you know what you're talking about. So I heard, I heard this shit, bro, that there are cars, there are new cars where it's going to sound fucking crazy. You have to pay a subscription on some of the features of the car.
Like Teslas?
I don't know if it's Teslas. Maybe. I heard some BMWs were like, okay, my Harley, some of the new Harleys I heard, bro, they have a subscription where you pay so that your Apple, what do they call it?
Your subscription?
No, you know how they have the Apple on your car?
CarPlay.
So your CarPlay will work.
Oh.
Like, no, you know, that's shit. Ridiculous, yes. Bro. Like, you're buying the car.
Right.
You're leaving the dealership with you, and they're still nickel and diming you even after you purchase the car, right. Bro. What's next? A subscription for your fucking car seats? A subscription for your radio? And that's where we're going, really. Yes. Like.
I know. And you know how they get you, bro? They tell you, like, okay, you can do one free month. But the free month, never, ever do they give you a free month if you don't first put your credit card in.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Because they know you won't cancel it.
Yeah, you won't.
And it happens to me. It's happened to me. I stopped doing it, bro. Like, I don't even want the free month because I already know that I'm not going to remember to cancel it.
So there's not an app on my phone of you know, every piece of hardware you buy, you know, like GoPro camera. When you open the app, the first thing you got to cycle through is them trying to sell you something when you open the app.
Right.
You know, and it's the same with Apple now. Yep. You know, I don't know how many times buy storage has come up on my cell phone.
Yeah.
Everything, they get you at every
angle.
Yeah. Every
That's why I think they put the plug-in for your phone on an Apple is on the bottom. It's the most inconvenient place to put the cable, bro, on the bottom, okay? That's where sometimes you plug your headphones in if you have headphones with cords, right? But that's also where you charge it. You charge it from the bottom. Correct. It's the most inconvenient place to have it. But I started thinking very cynically about this. I'm like, I wonder if they do that because your cable, you're going to bend it so many times that you're going to fuck the cable up and you're going to have to buy a new cable.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, how many cables have you bought?
Right, exactly. Yeah. I bought a bunch of cables, right? So I've bought a lot of those. The other day, just kind of going back to what you were talking about, the other day, I wanted to buy something on Amazon that was $1, bro, right? It was a subscription. I don't know if it was a game, if I wanted to buy a game. I'm not exactly sure what it was. I think it was a game, okay? So it was like 99 cents, right? It may have been more, but it was very low. It was like $2.99 or $3.99, right? So I was kind of going through it, and then it said, get a free month, right? And then I was like, okay, it's $3 or whatever, right? So I freaking did it, right? I try to look for the place where you can back out of it, where you can like decide that you don't want it.
Yeah.
I think I'm still paying it, bro. It's such a pain in the ass to try to go in there and figure it out that I am not even sure what credit card it's connected to check.
This is on Amazon?
It's maddening, bro. Yes. Oh, yes. And so I don't know, like, and it's probably happened like 7 months ago. I can almost guarantee you, bro, I've probably been paying $3.99 a month for a game I don't even fucking play, bro. I'm serious, dude. Like that's crazy. That's where we're at now, bro. Yeah, and like, you know, for a long time you thought, man, I'm paying $110 for cable.
Yeah.
I got all the channels, but I'm paying $110. Nowadays, you're paying $110 for the subscription services that you have guaranteed. If you take into account that you got Apple Music, Amazon, Hulu, Prime, Apple, Netflix. There's so many of them, bro, that like nowadays, I don't even know which ones I'm paying for. Yeah. I don't know. Sometimes I get commercials. Sometimes I don't. Yeah. I don't know.
It's all the channels are like a la carte now. A la carte.
And you're paying Wi-Fi, right? And you're paying cable in some instances. So what you used to pay $110 before, you're probably paying more like $300.
$320
yes, for cable. Bro. I don't even know. That's fucking crazy. Yeah. That is absolutely nuts.
You know, I think that, you know, here in this house, I don't pay shit, you know, and I get a couple of channels through my phone service, but you know, I don't have to pay for them on my phone. I mean, on my cable, you know, now I just pay for Wi-Fi and you know what, dude, God bless it, bro. Like I watch Pirate Signal. Fuck it. Right. You know what I mean? Like
you know
it's up to that point, bro. Yeah, like,
right. Yeah. And I was having this conversation with Tony just the other day about it. And then I go, you know what, dude? It's one of those things where it's like, yeah, it's not something that I feel bad about. And I'm like, yeah, whatever, man. Eventually, it'll catch up, right? You know, we might lose it or whatever. But, you know, for now, I'm just going to freaking enjoy it and not worry about it. Because, you know, the way they nickel and dime you for shit, bro, it's like, I can't, bro.
It's yeah, not that subscription. I mean, that really. I mean, now I try to limit the subscriptions I get on just on my iPhone because I know how to turn those off.
Yeah,
you know, it's very easy to turn those off. But like, dude, I would never do it. Like with through Amazon.
Yeah,
Amazon is shady as fuck, bro.
There's some of them that are very worth it to me. Yeah. Like to me, Spotify and Apple Music are 100%.
But you have both.
I have both because I'm included in Nico's subscription on Spotify.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And then I pay for the Apple one. I use the Apple more. Are you a Spotify guy or an Apple guy?
I'm Apple, but my daughter is a huge Spotify.
My kids are all Spotify subscribers.
I wouldn't be able to tell the difference because I couldn't have an opinion about it because I've never had Spotify other than the non-paid one.
I have both, bro, and I prefer Apple. I think Apple is, for me, okay? For me, it's a little... But I don't hate Spotify. That's the thing. Is like anytime I use Spotify, I actually like Spotify too. But since I already have all my playlists and shit set up in Apple, I don't think I'll ever switch over.
I think there's a way to transfer. I'm sure my daughter, she switched to Spotify and then she was mad at me because there was no overlap and she couldn't transfer her playlist. Okay. But she told me there's a way to do it.
Right.
And I was like, I didn't know. You know, I just fucking canceled it.
Got a little bit of feedback from our listeners or the people who I've shared the podcast with. And of course, I always talk about my friend Robles. Barry, the guy I went to lunch with today, you know, he was giving me some good topics and stuff that we possibly could be talking about. But I just want to go back to Robles real quick. Because a couple of weeks ago we had mentioned that, do you remember that night that we went, it was in downtown Whittier?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then we almost got in that fight.
Yeah.
With that bouncer. Do you remember that?
I vaguely remember it.
Do you remember what it was about?
Dude,
you hit the bouncer.
I hit him?
Yeah, you hit the bouncer unintentionally. Oh. You were slapping the... We were playing... You and I were playing spades.
Oh, okay.
Okay? At your house. Uh-huh. Two-person spades. I was teaching you or whatever, and we were... And I was telling you that, like, when I was in the Navy, we used to play spades, you know, and the black dudes are always the best at spades, bro. Like, you know, those guys, they know how to... Like, the one thing that you'll do... Spades is only played in two places, bro.
Prison
and the military, bro. Yeah. You know, and so you get good at spades and hearts and pinochle and shit, right? Yeah. But anyways, one of the things that I was doing, or one of the things that we were doing, was we were trying to slap the cards down like they do in spades, you know. Mm. And we were doing it with the coasters at the bar.
Oh, with the coasters?
Yeah. And you were about to throw the coaster down on the bar, and on your backswing you hit the bouncer in the mouth.
Oh shit.
And then he immediately started whistling to the other bouncers, like, get over here. We got somebody's ass that we need to kick. You know what I mean? And you turned around because you saw him whistling to his friends. And you were like, what the fuck are you whistling about? I remember this very clearly, bro. And you were like nose to nose with him, bro. And he was kind of a big guy. And the other thing that I remember distinctly is Selena, bro. She was super gangster, bro. Like, I thought your wife was going to kick that. I thought she was going to knock that dude out, bro. I've never seen your wife like that ever, bro. I don't think I've ever seen her to this day. And she was like yelling at the dude. Like, I thought she was going to kick his ass, bro. And I had to pull you out of the bar because I saw the bouncers coming, bro. And I was like, this is not good. And I had to pull you out of that bar by your belt.
Oh shit!
Yeah, bro. Hey, so, I thought you and your wife were gonna kick the shit out of that guy.
I've forgotten more stories like that than I, because you remember Frank Gonzalez, remember Whiskey?
Yeah.
So we were at Gabe's, and we used to hang out a lot when we were, you know, 20 to 30 years old. You know, when you're bar hopping and clubbing and shit, and we were sitting in the back of Gabe's house, and Frank was telling stories. Uh-huh. He was telling stories about me, bro.
Uh-huh.
That I don't even remember. I don't even remember. But when he was telling them, I was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that did happen. It was similar shit to what you're saying.
Yes, you know? Bro. Like,
yeah, because I was an angry
I think you, maybe you blank out because of your anger. I don't know, bro.
He said that one time we were at the Havana House in Whittier, and there was these dudes that could be You know, you had me with a lot of dudes growing up. And
were they Salesian heads?
No, I don't know who they were, but I think we had run in with these guys at the TGIF in La Puente or something. Uh-huh. One of them had punched Gabe in the mouth or something, and they were in the line to get in Havana House, like 10 people behind us. And that Frank said that I turned around and I pointed at the guy. I said, "Hey, are you guys coming in here?" And the guy, he's like, "Yeah." And I said, "You better not."
Oh!
And that they all left. And I was like, I don't remember that story. And then when he was telling it, I was like, "Oh yeah, I do remember that, bro." Because I was telling the dude, like, "Don't come in here, bro, because I'm gonna kick your ass."
Yeah.
You know? like,
oh my god, yeah, dude. Bro. Hey, and you probably have been in situations with Gabe, right? Yeah. Where you're like every time. There's been so many times when I've been out with Gabe, yeah, where I'm like, I'm gonna get my ass kicked tonight, yeah, for sure.
But I mean, we hung out in not so hot neighborhoods. I mean, yes, East LA, you know, I remember clubbing a lot in Montebello and East LA area, and hanging out with the guys. And I will say this, Ben, that I rarely was I the guy to start a fight. And right, I'm not saying I was like, you know, a fucking MMA fighter, but, you know, I wasn't a guy I was going to back down either. You, yes, know, and a, yeah, lot of the times, you know, I lifted weights and shit. Yes. And people was like, you know, Jose, I'll fuck him up. And I was like, nah, dude, I'm not doing that tonight. Like, you know, like, you're on your own. And I would let my friends get knocked out, because I was like, dude, I'm not starting shit out here. Like, you guys are, but if I saw somebody really getting their ass kicked, right, I'd be like, all right, dude, you know, like, you know,
of the four of us, I'm the one that least. Like, for sure, bro. Like, I'm always trying to do peacemaker.
Oh,
right?
Eddie will tell you some stories.
Eddie has been in fights, bro.
Yeah,
I think Eddie of all of us is the one that brawls the most.
Me and Eddie probably, yeah, been in the most fights.
For sure.
And then the other thing is,
Eddie knocks people out.
You know what I remember about you is you would get in a lot of fights when we were kids.
When
eighth grade and before. But I mean, as an adult, yeah, I was kind of a handful, bro. But I remember, you know, eighth grade and younger, before we were 15, I mean, they would do showing up to our house wanting to fight you and shit.
Yes.
Like, I remember that.
Remember, we used to go, we've gone to people's houses specifically just to fight somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so Robles, for some reason, dude, on one of his feedback texts that he gave me, he was remembering. I didn't remember that he was here for that. Okay, so apparently, not apparently, this really happened. So there was this girl. Mm-hmm. Who was hanging out on Maplefield on our street, okay? She was hanging out with us. I don't even know how we were even acquainted, bro. But anyways, she would kept telling me about this dude that wanted to, like, fight me. And I thought she was messing around. Like, I thought she was messing, like, okay, she's just messing with me, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So the weird thing is, like, she goes, okay, hey, can you give me a ride to my house? Because she didn't live on Maplefield.
Yeah.
She lived on another street. She lived by Frank and AJ.
Yeah, she lived in one of those cul-de-sacs.
Yes, yeah, dude. Yeah. Okay. So anyways, so I go, yeah, I'll give you a ride. So I get on the beach cruiser. She gets on the handlebars. And off we went. Okay. It's weird that I don't remember telling anybody that I went, but I remember you guys showing up.
Yeah.
I remember you showing up. Okay, and Robles remembers me returning. But anyways, on the way there, I had a button-up shirt, and she goes, I promise you she said this, bro. She goes, "You know, can you fight in that?" And I was like, is she fucking with me or what, you know? So we go, bro. We go into the cul-de-sac that you were talking about. And she goes up to this house that I think is hers. And then this dude runs out at me. Mm. I'm like, what the f-? Like, confused, bro. I was like, who the fuck is this? I'd never seen this person before in my life, bro. Yeah. He comes out, bro, and he immediately starts to swing. And then I'm like, you know, you get that fight or flight response, bro. And I was like, fuck, I can't go anywhere. I'm going to have to fucking fight this guy, right?
I was there when he started swinging on you.
Okay, dude, and I was like swinging, and I was missing. He was missing, you know, but you know, my fist would slip off of his chest and hit him in the mouth or whatever. And then we went to the ground, and then like the whole, I'm still confused, bro. I'm like, what the fuck is going on here, right? And then the girl is screaming, bro. She's like, we're on the floor wrestling and shit. She's like, grab his head and pound it on the concrete. And I'm like, this fucking crazy bitch. Like, I'm like, what the hell is she talking about? As I'm trying to grab the guy's head and bang it on the concrete, you know? Yeah. And so then I feel somebody like pulling me off, and it was the dude's dad.
No.
He was working on this car.
But I remember this because he was in the driveway working on a truck.
Yes.
And then like with the hood open.
Yes, right? Exactly.
And the truck was backed in.
Yes.
I remember, bro. Uh-huh. And then the guy comes out and he starts swinging on you. And then you were getting him though, bro. I don't remember you guys going to the ground. I don't remember that at all.
We were on the ground.
I remember that you had he tried to swing on you and then like you caught him, bro. You caught him and that's when the dad was like, "Hey!" And then he came out
and he grabbed you
and then cuz you had like oil stain on my shirt.
Yeah.
And then I think you started fighting him.
You know what's funny, bro, is I don't remember that, dude. You know, you saying you remember? And Robles told me the same thing. He goes, remember you fought that dad.
Dude
and the dad? And I go, I don't remember fighting the dad at all. I remember the dad telling me, hey, bro, calm down.
You were fucking the dad up, too.
No, bro.
I'm telling you, bro. Because, you know, you weren't small, dude.
No, I was a small guy.
You know, in eighth grade, I mean, you were an athlete and shit. And so the dad was, you know, he was a fucking... You know, and he's like, hey, and he saw his boy getting his ass kicked.
I want to say they were white.
They were. Yeah, they were. Yeah. The dad saw his son getting his ass kicked and then tried, hey, and then you were like, dude, get the fuck off me. I think you took a couple swings at him too, but they left you alone and we all just took off.
Yeah. I don't think that girl ever came back. I think she specifically was on our neighborhood trying to find somebody to fight, you know.
It's weird, bro.
Like I was the number one candidate, I guess, bro.
I was the big boss on
freaking Maplefield Street.
Yeah, I remember one time after that, like a week later, there was some kid came and knocked on our door. He was Bernie here. I'm like, no way. He goes, because there's some dude here who wants to fight.
Yeah, bro.
Shit, bro. And I was like, no, he ain't here, but I'll tell him you came by and he's gonna fuck he's gonna fuck you up too. That was not a fucking neighborhood, that was a crazy neighborhood, bro.
Right, it was weird, bro. That was such a weird experience, dude. Robles had told me that he had texted me and it kind of conjured up some memories, but I promise you, bro, I don't remember the dad part, but you know, sometimes shit is a blur, right? Because it happened such a long time ago.
I do remember that, bro.
Yeah.
Anyway, bro, so good episode today.
Are we done?
Oh, man, so good. Yeah, it's an hour. And
okay, hold on, dude, because I just wanted to throw one more thing out there because you were talking about Frank.
Which Frank? Oh, Gonzalez?
Whiskey, yeah. I don't know if you know about this one, but one time we went to a USC game. Uh-huh. Did I tell you this one already? Okay, we went to a USC game, all right?
Bro, we won't say anything. Huh? Just don't say anything that's going to incriminate either one.
I know. I won't, bro. I won't.
Oh, my God, bro.
I won't, bro. Okay, so we went to a USC game. It was me.
Jesus.
It was Gabe. It was Whiskey. And it was Armando. You remember?
Remember, of course.
Gabe's compadre Armando.
Yeah, of course.
So we went, right? For some reason, dude, me and Whiskey were sitting.
You were at the Coliseum?
Yes. We were sitting at a different section than Gabe and Armando were. Like me and Whiskey were close to them, but they were in front of us to the left, like maybe 8 or 10 seats down, right? And Gabe was in that part of the Coliseum where there's that walkway. Where the tunnels are at.
Yeah.
Okay, he's in that walkway and he's at the very front of that walkway. And you know how Gabe gets, bro. Right. He's a Notre Dame fan, and this is SC Notre Dame, and Notre Dame is getting fucking pummeled, bro. But that doesn't stop Gabe from talking shit, bro.
No, of course he is, right?
So he's over there talking shit. He's being loud, bro. And like the whole time I'm seeing people turn around like, this fucking guy needs to shut the fuck up. And I already, because I've been to games with Gabe before, but I'm like, this is just what it is, bro, you know?
Yeah.
And then so me and Whiskey are just like, I'm sitting there nervously, bro, because I'm like, fuck, he's going to say something. So the guy in front of him on the very last row in front of that walkway, he keeps turning around and then the game's almost over, bro. And he looks at his buddy. This is a white guy, bro. He looks at his buddy. He takes his sunglasses off and he goes, watch, I'm going to go kick this dude's ass, right? And I'm watching this whole thing develop, bro. He freaking steps over his chair. He gets in Gabe's face and then he pushes Gabe, bro. Uh-huh. And Gabe goes back. And then from that point, bro, he fucking runs at him and he basically launches him into the fucking stands, bro.
Wait, who launched
Gabe? Gabe launched this dude. He fucking ran at him hard, bro.
Oh,
he pushed
shit.
Him hard and then he goes into the stands, right? And then his other buddy comes out and he starts wrestling around with Armando, right? And Gabe, at this point, I don't even know how the fuck this happened. Gabe doesn't have a shirt on, dude, at this point. Like, he's just out there without his shirt, bro. And it's kind of crazy. There's other people getting involved. And the dude that's wrestling Armando has his like Armando has his back on the floor and he's, and the dude's on top of him, but he's holding his face up with his hands, like, you know, like this,
yeah,
like with his face in his hands, with his hands fully extended. And Frank Whiskey is down there now, right? Because now he's like, oh, I see this shit going on. Yeah, you know, Whiskey's down, bro. Yeah, he doesn't give a shit, right? So Whiskey goes down there, and as he's holding his fucking face up, Frank runs at and fucking punches him as if it were on a tee, dude.
No.
Yes,
way.
Bro. And then I go down there because I was like, I gotta get Gabe out of there, bro, because he's gonna get his ass kicked, right? So I grab onto Gabe, and right when I grab him, like 12 LAPD officers come down. They were for some reason coming down, not out of the tunnel. They were coming down from the top of the stands, bro. And then when we see the LAPD guys, we all just run through the tunnel, right? Uh-huh. And then at the other end of the tunnel, there's more LAPD guys there, bro. Oh, and then the guy pulls Gabe aside. He pulls us aside and he's like, okay, look, you guys cannot go back there. He's like, you guys got to go home. Or you gotta either leave or you gotta go.
Oh, so this isn't the end of the game. It's like
at the end of the game. Oh, okay. It was almost over. It wasn't exactly over yet. Yeah. You know, I mean, the blowout had already happened, right?
Right.
But I remember like that's the kind of crazy shit you used to get in with Gabe all the fucking time, bro.
Yeah.
Like, I can't remember how many times.
But also, I mean, you know, I don't know how common that was outside of. I think everybody could tell a story like that, right? Because you're 25, bro, or you're 22, you know? Like
we were in our mid-20s.
Drunk, bro. And fucking, you know, just out being stupid and immature and shit. Yeah. I mean, I got so many fucking problems. I mean, that's not even the worst story. I mean, the stuff that I remember getting into, if my kid were to tell me something, I'd be like, oh, my God, you know? But, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah.
We had different times back then, too, you know, because you didn't worry about people, you know, putting you on social media. And,
yes, right, you know, right.
I mean,
nowadays, nobody tries to break up any fights. They try to record them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, people are there for it. You know, they're like, so it's pretty fucking crazy.
That's hilarious. But anyways, those are funny. There's you know, like you said, there's other stories about the fights. But man, we could probably do a 3-hour show just on. Yeah,
we're gonna have Eddie on for that one.
Though. Yeah, man, Eddie has been in some freaking brawls, bro.
He's also 6'4", 330.
Right. Eddie has done things that I'll never do, like knock people out, bro. Cold, bro. So. That shit's funny. All right, man. Well, anyways, damn, dude, this hour again, it goes by pretty fast, right?
Yeah, good episode, man. Again, so thanks to everybody for listening. And again, we're BV Unleashed podcast on Instagram, and you guys can email us and get with us, send us instant messages on anything we might have talked about today. And also, you can email us at valleyvoicesunleashed@gmail.com. Hopefully you guys enjoyed this episode, and I think we'll be recording again in a couple of weeks. Let us know if you guys got out to see the eclipse and what your thoughts were on the eclipse, and maybe there's some interesting facts about eclipses that
we don't know. Maybe you can tell us how eclipses work.
I heard some of the signs, like the Capricorns and shit, were gonna have like a bunch of good luck during this.
Oh, nice. All right. Well, I'm not a Capricorn.
All right. Well, thank you for listening, and we'll see you guys next episode. Thank you.
Good night. Thanks. See you guys later. Bye. Don't give up your end up.